Can I ask you please to turn with me this evening back again, I believe, to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth in the chapter 2. Let me thank Reverend Stewart for, first of all, the invitation and also the welcome to be with you again here in Portland Own. Pleasure to be with you and to share with you in your harvest services this weekend. I pray the Lord will bless you, and especially as you have these nights of special gospel outreach, that you'll make every effort to plan to be out night after night, and if possible bring others in under the preaching of the word of the Lord. The gospel must continue to go forth and continue to be spread even in these days of uncertainty, because the Lord Jesus Christ is still the only hope for this world tonight. And if you're here without Christ, Christ is your only hope. And so we pray that even tonight as we come around the Word of God, God will speak to you. But it is my pleasure to be with you this evening. So we're turning to the book of Ruth, and we're turning to chapter 2 tonight. I believe you're in chapter 1 this morning. This is Ruth, the sequel. And you know what sequels are like. They're not as good as the original. So you will bear with us as we go through this message tonight. But this is where we believe the Lord would have us speak from this evening. But let's read the Word of God, Ruth chapter 2, and we will read from the opening verse. Ruth chapter 2 and the verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came, and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favour in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto the one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime, come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. When she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Amen. We'll end there at verse 17, and we pray the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Verse number 10, we find a phrase, a question that I want us to center our thoughts upon this evening. Here is Ruth, and she comes, she falls on her face, she bows herself to the ground, and she asks this question: why have I found grace in thine eyes? Why have I found grace in thine eyes? Before we come to the preaching of the Word of God, we're going to come to the Lord in prayer. And if you can, let's stand together, please, at this stage, just to change your position before we come to the preaching of His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for Thy goodness and mercy that finds us in the house of God tonight. We thank the Lord for all that has been enabled to gather here. And we pray, Lord, that You'll speak to those that are in the building, to those who are listening outside, Lord, to those who are listening, Lord, further afield, we ask, O God, that tonight the stillness and the solemnity of heaven might fall upon us. And Heavenly Father, we pray tonight for the help of the Holy Spirit. Come and speak to us, we pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight, as we come around the living word of the living God, may Thy word, Lord, come with power. Heavenly Father, we pray it will truly be, Lord, that sharp instrument, that two-edged sword. And tonight especially, for those who are in this place without Christ, for those who are listening, for those who are watching still in their sin, O God, we pray that this tonight will be the night of their salvation. This will be the night of their conversion. And Lord, that they tonight will cry out like Ruth of old, why have I found grace in thine eyes? We pray, Lord, that tonight the sinner might find that grace. They might, Lord, receive that grace. And Lord, that tonight lives will be transformed by the amazing grace of God. So answer prayer. Continue on with us now. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. 2020, I think, is sufficient to say, has been a year like none other. 12 months ago, the very thought of the way of life that we seem to have been accustomed to now would never have been comprehended. To think that for 4 months of this year, our entire lives came to an abrupt halt, and the world changed overnight. I'm sure we've all been amazed and taken aback by the events that have befallen each one of us this year. Amazed by a virus that has altered our livelihoods, that has altered the way we contact with each other, and especially our family. Altered the way for a time that we did church. Altered the way that our children were educated. Altered the way we lived our lives entirely in so many ways. We've all been amazed by the events of the past 7 months in our country and in our world. However, tonight, as we come to the gospel, I want us to consider something that is far more amazing than the changes and the alterations that we have seen in this world. Because there's something here in this chapter, and particularly in verse number 10, that should always amaze us and always astound us. In verse 10, Ruth asked that question, why have I found grace in thine eyes? And there was Ruth standing in that field of corn at the time of barley harvest, and forgetting all that was going on around her, and forgetting all the circumstances that was happening around her, she asked this most profound of questions: why have I found grace in thine eyes? Ruth was amazed by grace. Here she was, an outcast, a stranger, as we'll see in a moment, a nobody. yet she found grace. And she was astounded that she should ever find grace. She was amazed by the fact that her life was changed and saved by grace. There she was in the field of corn at the time of harvest. And the only thing that took her thoughts and took her attention was that she found grace. And I pray that tonight, here in this church building, or for those who are listening outside, for those who are watching online, that wherever you may be tonight, you might forget the things around you, you might forget the people around you, but that tonight you would be amazed at the grace of our God. That you would be astounded. You see, while many things will amaze us and many things will astound us, many things, even as the Reverend Stewart has said, amazed by all the changes that has taken place this year, and yet God has been faithful. Here's something far greater. It's the grace of God to we who were outcasts and strangers. Why? Why have I found grace? Why am I redeemed tonight? You're saved, why are your sins forgiven? It's all summed up in that little word, grace. And tonight, by the help of the Holy Spirit of God, may we all be amazed by grace, even as Ruth was. And tonight, if finds you in this meeting, listening or watching online without Christ, may you tonight be amazed at the grace of God. But more than that, tonight may you be arrested by that grace. And may your life be changed and transformed by that grace that Ruth found that day. There in that field of corn, that field became a field of grace. Here you are tonight in the house of God. And may tonight this house of God become a house of salvation to your soul. The field of grace. Let's consider some things about this field of grace tonight as we find it in Ruth chapter 2. I want you to see, first of all, with me here, the search for grace. The search for grace. In verse number 2, we find Ruth going in search of grace. She makes that statement, she asks that question, and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. You see, here was one, as we'll see in a moment, who realized that she needed something more. And she went searching. And she went looking. She said, in whose eyes and in whose sight I shall find grace. She realized that she needed something that she did not presently have. And she knew her life would not be complete or full until she found this. As we consider this searching, I want you to see with me her activity. In verse number 2, she says, let me now go to the field. Let me now go to the field. Ruth had arrived here as a stranger. She was a stranger from Moab. And she was seen in the eyes of the Israelites as less than nothing, a nobody, an outcast. She was despised and she was rejected. As far as they were concerned, she was a pagan. She had nothing to claim by right. And so she set her eyes on hunting for that which she so desperately needed. And she says, let me now go into the field. There was an activity. Oh, there were many obstacles, many cultural obstacles, many physical obstacles, but she realized that she needed to go and find this. You see, when it comes to the matter of salvation, and we believe salvation is all of grace, it's all of God, but we read in the Gospel of Matthew that the sinner needs to strive to enter into the straight gate. And you see, tonight, If you're here without Christ, your very presence in this meeting tonight tells us that you're searching for something, and thank God you're here. But tonight you need to get past the hindrances, need to get past the barriers. You need to get past those obstacles that you or others are putting up in your way in order to get right with God, in order to find this grace. Maybe it's people tonight. Maybe there's someone standing in your way. Someone that you feel if you were to get right with God and give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, that it would affect your connection, affect your relationship. Life would be changed, and there standing in your way tonight. I urge you tonight, you need to strive past the obstacles, whatever they may be. You need to get to Christ tonight. You need to be saved tonight. You need this grace. And you need to strive past the people, or maybe it's the pride of your heart. It's the love of sin, it's the power of the flesh. You need to strive past those things and make every effort, as Ruth did, to get grace, to find grace. She says, let me now go to the field. Here was Ruth making every effort to find that which she needed. May you tonight realize that you have nothing to offer before God. May you realize tonight that you need to get to Christ and you need to get to Him now. She says, let me now go. How good and gracious God has been to you. How patient and long-suffering the Lord has been to you. And here you are, another harvest. And yet you are not saved. Here you are another time to thank the Lord for His temporal and material provision, and yet tonight you're still not saved. Then I urge you tonight, come now. Get past the obstacles now and get to Christ and find grace now. While God is striving and His Spirit is speaking, you need to come now. Let me now go to the field. There's her activity in this search. But you wanted to see as well, there is her appetite. Ruth realized there was a hunger in her life. She realized that she needed something she did not have. Her life without the grace of God had no meaning. Her life without the provision that God had made for her was in vain. And I say lovingly and tenderly to your heart tonight, to those who are unsaved, your life without Christ is empty. It has no meaning. It has no purpose. And tonight, if you're here without Christ, listen, the only thing you have got to look forward to is a lost eternity in hell for all eternity. That's it. That's all that the devil offers you tonight. Or he might offer you the pleasures of this world. He might offer you all that this world will give you. But at the end of it all, the only thing he has to offer you is a life lost in hell. Oh, that tonight you would realize that without Christ and without the grace of God in your life is empty and void, meaningless, and without direction. And that you tonight would strive, you would come. Because if you delay in this matter and you die in your sin and you go to a lost eternity, you will be like that rich man who had a greater appetite for grace in hell than he did on earth. He longed for the grace of God to be extended to him in a lost eternity, but it wasn't possible. because hell is devoid of the grace of God. He spurned God's grace on earth, but I tell you, he longed for it in hell. But he didn't find it. But thank God tonight you can find grace this night. You can find God's salvation this night. Not only in this search was there her activity, her appetite, but there was also her anticipation, because we read in verse 2, I shall find grace. Oh, thank God tonight when you come to Jesus Christ, you come just the way you are, you come in your sin, you shall find grace. You shall find that tonight the Lord Jesus Christ saves. They shall seek me, God says, and shall find me, when they shall search for me with all of their heart. Oh, listen, sinner, tonight, search and strive to get to God and get to Christ, and I tell you, you'll find him. She said, I shall find grace. Thank God in this gospel meeting tonight, you can find the grace of God. In this gospel meeting tonight, you can be saved. You seek Jesus Christ in salvation this evening. He'll save you, he'll pardon you, and your search will be rewarded. Because thank God for every seeking sinner, there is a seeking Savior. And in this meeting tonight, he searches and seeks you that he might save you. There is the search for grace. But I want us to come a little more now and not only see the search for grace, but I want you to see the supply of grace. The supply of grace. You see, Ruth's search was rewarded. She found grace, but she didn't find it in a place. She found it in a person. This person we come across in verse number 1 of Ruth chapter 2, his name was Boaz. And in Boaz there's a wonderful picture and type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember all the Old Testament saints and all the events, all the writings of Scripture of the Old Testament, they all pointed to Christ. They all spoke of Christ. They have redemption as their theme. Of course, most particularly so in this little book of Ruth. Ruth found grace, but she didn't find it in a place, she found it in a person. And I say tonight, you'll never find grace in this church. You'll never find grace in your confession. You'll never find grace in your baptism. You'll only find grace alone in a person, and that person, as we'll see, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, Ruth found grace in the person of Boaz. Notice something about this man. Notice how he speaks of Christ. Notice where he came from, verse number 4. He came from Bethlehem, the birthplace of Christ. Ruth found grace in Boaz, the one who is full of grace. Notice his riches, first of all. Verse number 1, we read that he was a mighty man of wealth. A mighty man of wealth. And you know how that speaks to us of the Lord Jesus Christ, he who had all the riches of heaven. He who owned the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. He who is the Creator God. He is all the riches. He who was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. And Boaz, through his riches, speaks and points to the riches of Christ. Notice not only his riches here, but notice his relatives. He was a kinsman of her husband. And here's the vital link that qualified Boaz to be Ruth's redeemer. His relationship to Naomi's husband Elimelech, Ruth's father-in-law. You see, according to law, the kinsman who would be the provider and the sustainer of the one who was in need and the one who was in want, the one who was in trouble, the one who was in danger, there had to be a connection with that person. They had to be related to that person. In order for that person to redeem the one who was in need, there had to be a relationship with them. And here was the connection for Ruth through Naomi. A stranger, by God's planning and divine decree, that brought her into relationship with Boaz. You see, she would never have had that relationship by herself. She would never have had that connection with Boaz by herself. She would have remained a Moabitess and an outcast and a stranger. But through the divine working and divine planning of God, Boaz came into her life. And there was that connection. And there was that relationship through Naomi. How does that speak to us of Christ? It speaks to us of Christ because Christ, by his coming into this world, Christ, by taking our humanity into union with his deity, came to bring that connection to us that he might be our Redeemer. You see, we of ourselves couldn't save ourselves. No mortal man could ever save us. The Lord Jesus Christ had to come from glory into this world. He had to take our humanity so that we would have that connection and that relationship. He had to become bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, that we through him might have that relationship and therefore qualifies him to be our Redeemer. And you see, tonight Christ is the only Redeemer. Because Christ is our glorious mediator, our glorious intercessor. He is perfect God of perfect God, and yet he is perfect man of perfect man. And he came to reconcile God and man in the blessed person, the God-man. That's why tonight he's your only Redeemer. That's why tonight there's redemption and grace found alone in no one else but Jesus Christ. Boaz came from Bethlehem, Christ was born in Bethlehem, all in this great scheme and plan of redemption. I'm sure you know a little of the rest of the story. Ruth, Boaz went on to marry and have a son called Obed. And from Obed came Jesse. And from Jesse came David. And from David came Christ. The royal lineage, the royal heritage, all culminates in Christ. And tonight, in this meeting without the Savior, searching for grace, searching for something more than this world can offer, you'll only find it in Christ. Not only his riches and his relatives, but notice as well his recognition. Come down into verse 5. Here's Boaz now, who was going to be her redeemer. And he comes into the field, and then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" What a precious thought there. You think of that field, it would have been filled with people at the time of harvest, and many would have been working. And yet Boaz took notice of Ruth, of the one individual. Whose damsel is this? You see, Christ Jesus came to save the individual. And tonight in this meeting, he's an interest in you. He has an interest in you personally tonight. He has an interest in you savingly tonight. And he looks into this meeting and he desires that you might be saved. Here was Ruth, that outcast, that stranger, that nobody, that nothing. Yet Boaz took interest in her. Does that not amaze us tonight that we who had nothing to offer the Lord, yet he should take an interest in us? We who were sinners, we who were outcasts, we who were only kindled fit for the flames of hell, yet for such Jesus Christ came to seek and to save. Whose damsel is this? He recognized the individual. The hymn writer asked the question, was it for me alone? The Savior left his glorious throne. Was it for me? He wept and prayed. My load of sin before him laid, was it for me? He bowed his head upon the cross and freely shed. His precious blood, that crimson tide, was it for me? Savior died. It was for me. Yes, all for me. And sinner, tonight it was for you. Jesus Christ left heaven, came into this world, took our humanity, endured the humiliation that was associated with that he might redeem you from sin. That in Christ you might find this grace. His recognition. He saw the one. The Lord looks into this gathering tonight. And he sees your heart. And tonight he longs to save you. He desires to save you. You see his response in verse number 7. Oh, Ruth didn't want to leave that field of grace. She wanted to stay there. And he says to her in verse number 8, go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here. Before we move on quickly, listen tonight. Maybe there's some voice in your head that's saying, don't listen to that preacher anymore. Maybe there's some voice in your head and some feeling in your heart, don't listen any longer. Go somewhere else. Try to find that which you're looking for somewhere else. Try to find peace and happiness and contentment. Try to find it somewhere else. You'll never find it anywhere else but in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ tonight says to you, come. Come. Many other religions tonight will tell you to go. But Christ says, come. Go not to glean in another field. Stay here. There is the search for grace. There's the supply of grace. But as we close tonight, I want us to see now the satisfaction of grace. Because as we come into the words of verse number 10, Ruth with amazement and with astonishment, she falls on her face and bows herself to the ground. Here's a real work of grace now. She says, why? Why have I found grace in thine eyes? She was amazed by the grace of God. Oh, that sinner tonight, you might be amazed that Jesus Christ left heaven. That while on the cross of Calvary, when he died and shed his blood, that he had you on his mind. That his blood was shed for your sin. That he died that you might live. And that tonight you might find grace. And in finding grace, you would be amazed by that grace. She found the Redeemer. She found what she longed for. not in herself, but in a person. And she was satisfied. She didn't need to go anywhere else. Her search was rewarded. She found what she had needed and what she had longed for. Notice in the satisfaction, there's an invitation. Come down to verse 14. Boaz said unto her at mealtime, "Come, thou hither. Come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." Boaz invited Ruth to find full satisfaction, to eat and be satisfied. You see, whenever you find Christ, who is the bread of life, you'll not want for any more. Come, there was food in this invitation. Christ, who is the bread of life tonight, invites you to come. Take of the heavenly manna, and your soul will be satisfied. Come, taste and see tonight that the Lord is good. There was also fellowship, because we read in verse 14, and she sat. She sat. Think of it, she was brought from the fields of sin right to sit at the feet of her Redeemer. And you know, that's what the Lord offers you tonight. He takes you from the fields of sin and brings you into fellowship with Himself. He takes the sinner, an outcast, nothing, and He brings us into His family and makes us children of God. And there's blessed, sweet communion and fellowship there. Well, tonight, we live in a world overcome by fear. Tonight we live in a world overcome by dread and worry. Loneliness, weariness. But thank God tonight when we come to sit at the feet of Christ, there is perfect peace. Perhaps you fear. Tonight you've come to this meeting, your heart has been, you're filled with fear. You didn't know what you were going to hear. You didn't know what was going to be said. Tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ can dispel that fear and give you peace, bring you into fellowship. There she sat, and there she ate, and there she was satisfied. She didn't want for anything more. The Lord vindicated Ruth. The Lord rewarded Ruth. Because it just once, it wasn't a once for all experience. Because Boaz instructed his servants, ensure that there are those handfuls of purpose. You see, Ruth was going to continually be satisfied. Those blessings that would make her service more productive and blessed. She was satisfied with grace, and she would continue to be satisfied. She would want for nothing else. She'd want for nothing more. By the end of that day, as we read in verse 17, she gleaned in the field unto even, beat out that she had gleaned, and was about an ephah of barley. Here was an individual who started that day out with nothing. Empty, devoid, hopeless, destitute. And yet now she has all that she needs. Sinner, tonight you may have come to this meeting without hope. Still in your sin. Thank God tonight you can leave this place with the hope of the gospel, with Christ in your heart, and be satisfied. Every need was met by Boaz, her kinsman redeemer. tonight. There are many needs in our province, many needs in our country. There are physical needs, health needs, emotional needs, educational needs, vocational needs. There are many, many different needs. But the greatest need tonight is spiritual. The greatest need in your heart and life tonight is not that you would be free from this virus, and God pray that will ever be the case. But the greatest need you have tonight is spiritual, because you have a soul that needs to be saved. You have a soul tonight that is bound for a lost eternity. And the only thing that can save you from a lost, damned hell is the grace of God in the person of Jesus Christ. You come to Him tonight, and He'll satisfy you. He'll meet your need. He has provided that way that your need can be met through His death and His resurrection. Stranger, an outcast. But thank God, by the grace of God, you can be brought in and made a child of the King. And come life or come death, you'll be able to say, "It's well with my soul." Ruth was amazed by grace. Amazed that she should ever find grace. But then amazed when she found it, that her life was satisfied. You come to Jesus Christ tonight, you'll never be disappointed. You give your heart and life to Christ tonight, this Harvest Thanksgiving service, you'll never regret it. Will you come? I trust that God, by His Holy Spirit, has so arrested your soul that you would cry out like Ruth, "Why have I found grace?" Grace is available for you tonight. It's accessible for you tonight. It's only found in Christ. It wasn't going to be found in any place in that field. It was going to be found in the person of Boaz the Redeemer. And tonight, you'll find grace, not in this place or in another place, but you'll only find it in Jesus Christ. Will you come to Him tonight? Will you leave your sin and be satisfied with the grace of God? Let's bow in prayer. And before we close in prayer tonight, if perhaps you have been troubled and concerned, and you realize tonight that your life is empty, it's void, there's something missing, there's something just in your life that you know you don't have and you desperately need. Well, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you and showing to you and awakening you that you need this grace. I wonder then, will you say, like Ruth, "Let me now go"? I wonder, will you now come to Jesus Christ? I wonder tonight, will you now leave that field of sin and come and find grace in Christ? You have a troubled soul, you'd like to be saved, you'd like to speak. Speak to Reverend Stewart, speak to myself, speak to some Christian you know. But even tonight in that seat where you are, you can call out unto the Lord, "Lord, save me, a sinner." I wonder, will you do it? Don't put it off. Don't allow anybody or anything to get in your way. But come tonight and find grace, and find it alone in Christ. We're here to help you in any way that we can. Eternal God and our Father, we pray, Lord, that tonight you'll take the stumbling words of man Lord, take thy word and apply it, O God, by thy Holy Spirit to the hearts of those tonight who are listening or here without Christ. Lord, that this night the sinner will find grace, that the sinner will be amazed by grace, that they'll be arrested by that amazing grace, that they'll find in Christ all that their soul needs. O God, we thank Thee that tonight in the Saviour there is a full and ample supply. And Heavenly Father, we pray that sinners this night will come and receive Christ as their Saviour. Do that work which only Thou canst do. Lord, take sinners tonight from the fields of sin and bring them into that field of grace. Lord, we pray that before they leave this house of worship tonight, may this be a house of salvation. Some poor lost sinner. Use thy word, O God, we pray. Speak on, we ask of thee now, as the voice of man falls silent. Lord, we pray that this night you'll be pleased to do thine own sovereign work of salvation. Bless us, Lord, now as we part the one from the other. We ask, O God, that you'll be pleased to keep your good hand upon us as we travel home. Please, Lord, to keep us all safe. But, O God, we pray, most of all, be pleased to bring the lost into thy harvest home. Save them tonight, we pray. Answer prayer. Take our thanks for thy presence with us. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen.